All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Mondays. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines and Bill from Oconomowoc. Bill, thank you very much for waiting. You say what?
Childhood part of my life wasn't very pretty.
Bill, are you there?
I was born and raised in the slums.
Okay, so let's go to Tom from L.A. Tom.
Oh, hey, Earl. No, I wanted to say, actually, I have my phone still on. I apologize. I'm good. Thanks, guys. Sorry.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go back to David. David, how you doing, man?
Earl, I just want to respond to Sandy really quickly. In regards with the oil companies, you know, the largest oil companies are investing in green energy. They're buying the solar panels and wind farms, and they're making bids and all that. The problem is, again, is though, if you look at the bigger issue with green energy, the problem with green energy, though, is it's not consistent enough as far as reliable energy. So that's why you're seeing nuclear come back in the equation. And you're also seeing now a lot of countries around the world, they're actually going back to coal. They're actually, coal is ramping up tremendously. And the reason being because the whole aspect of trying to run, keep in mind, we have a very fragile electrical grid. So now the fact that we're going to be putting millions and millions of cars onto this, electricity is much more expensive than using natural gas.
Hey, David, let me ask you, because I heard Sandy say that the horse is out of the barn. This is going to happen. I'm sure the people who are in control of these things are aware of all the things you are saying, but yet they're going to move forward with it anyway. Sandy, is it safe to say that's what you said?
Well, yeah, that plus more, actually. What Dave is saying has been true in the past, and the big thing about electricity that has been true in the past is that you can't store it. So you have to produce electricity simultaneous with its use. But that's changing. That's changing with batteries. Batteries and storage and energy storage generally are a game changer. And storage, not just with batteries, but there are other ways to store energy. You can store them essentially vicariously in water heaters. There's all sorts of ways to defer energy use and to control the time when energy is used so that it becomes what people in the industry call a megawatt, which is essentially the reverse of a megawatt of power. It's a reduction of a megawatt in demand at a time when you would otherwise have to turn on an additional megawatt of power generation. So the grid and the process of running power through the grid is becoming way more sophisticated, and it's changing more rapidly than the central station, the standard utilities, expected it to change. And microgrids are becoming possible. Microgrids meaning near neighborhoods that would have energy generated within the neighborhood and storage provided within the neighborhood to make it possible for the neighborhoods to be off grid. So Dave is right. In the very near term, it's necessary to have power that you can turn off and on with a switch. And that's basically fossil fuel power. It's not even nuclear power, because nuclear power has to stay on permanently. You can't turn a nuclear power plant off and on. When you turn it on, it stays on. It's called base loaded. So I'm simply saying the technology, Dave, is running faster than you think, and the marketplace is reflecting that technology. And as it develops, the marketplace is moving rapidly in the direction of more decentralized power and less reliance on a national grid. So, you know, you're speaking with a foot in the past when you talk about this, and the foot that's in the future is basically running in the direction of renewable energy. And I'm not saying that as a green power freak. I'm saying that as a financial analyst.
All right, Dave. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, the issue And what we were clearly talking about is just where our people not trusting our government and all of those things, there are all these things that point to why. And here's another one. Where is it at? I was looking at this is where is it at? I'll find it. Anyway, in the meantime, you know, Sandy, we're at this point again where the lack of trust. Now, if while we're dealing with the lack of trust in our government, and you've got all these different things and reasons why, and yet we watch, you know, this constant stuff with Donald Trump and. And you know, I'm just tired of it. Here it is. Inside the Pentagon slugfest over the future of the fleet. Here's a prime example, Sandy. The Navy, and this is in Politico this morning, the Navy of the future needs 316 ships. That's what the Navy is saying itself. And then they actually make that 327. No. More like 367. You know what? Let's make it 373 or maybe even 500. The Navy is saying we only need 316 ships. But there's somebody out here pushing it to 373, even though the Navy's not asking for it. And we, you know, earlier we were talking about the money that's being spent. I was talking about the Great Air Show that I marveled at over the weekend. But if the Navy is saying we only need 316 ships, who are these other people, government people, who are pushing for something else?
Well, that's sort of the idiocy of the way the whole military-industrial complex works. There's, for instance, undoubtedly there are titanium screws that are used to make to put in some form of a Navy ship. Let's just use a foolish example, some specialized titanium right. screw. And there's a titanium screw plant located in Bend, Ohio, that employs, 400 people in Bend, Ohio. It's the biggest employer. And Bend, Ohio is an important part of Mortimer Schnurd's congressional district in Ohio. And so the this Bend, Ohio plant is notified by a lobbyist that there's this opportunity to, or there's this problem with ships, and the number of ships is going to be reduced and the number of titanium screws needed to be ordered from this Bend, Ohio plant is going to go down. And so what happens? They contact Mortimer Schnurd and say, God, you don't do that. You know, we need more ships. And so Mortimer says, yep, okay, I'm with you. And, I mean, that sounds crazy. That's the way it works. You know, it's the tail wagging the dog in so many ways. And the military-industrial complex reaches so deep into us, you know, there's all these parts manufacturers who might, half their business might be devoted to supporting the military expenditures, but that half is very important. And so they, of course, lend their credence and lend their political support to someone who supports what they want and need. And this is what happens. So absent the bright light shining on it, people with common sense, I mean, you know, we pointed out before Biden's military budget went in and Congress wants to increase it. And, of course, Biden's military budget was based on input from the Pentagon, right? So it's crazy. And it's crazy because, again, this is the way K Street works. It represents all kinds of private interests. And they aren't necessarily the private interests of big companies, but it turns out that the private interests get magnified and control our government.
You know, Sandy, at different points this year, the Pentagon and Navy leaders have floated all five numbers as the desired size of the Navy, the result of a high stakes and still raging internal battle among top Navy, Marine Corps, and Pentagon leaders. And so when we talk about not trusting our government, Sandy, here's a prime example. You know, how can you trust that when you know that, again, it eats up so much of our budget that we can't afford, as you constantly state, daycare. The people will hurry up and say, we can't afford that. Healthcare, we can't afford that, you know. And then at the root of why we can't afford it are these types of things. But nobody comes right out and says that, Sandy. You know, you've got to have people who are willing to dig into that. And then still, as you stated earlier, the people aren't going to be outraged because, you know, we're going to see what I saw this weekend and enjoy the show, right? I mean, that's what it is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of pathways for the public relations and the political relations that relate to the military complex. I mean, it's military bases. You know, it's the Army, Navy, Marines. They all have bases. Camp Pendleton in California is very important to Orange County, I'm sure. And that example can be taken all around the country, particularly in the South. Interestingly, most of the military bases in the country are south of the Mason-Dixon line and have great deal of sway over the politicians in those areas. But similarly with industrial. You know, in Oshkosh, I guarantee you that Oshkosh Truck is an important constituent to the congressman from Oshkosh.
So the Navy is broken. Shipbuilding is broken, said John Fiore, a non-resident senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. Every 2 years, the Navy is forced to come up with a 30-year plan that needs to be built and really needs to be planned for over two decades. Got to go to a break. And we've gone 30 years without an actual national consensus on Navy shipbuilding. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Mondays with Sandy Williams. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.